Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open me.
Bless you, brother.
I want to see you.
How do you want to see him?
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up,
shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out.
That's the way you want to see him.
See, holy, holy, holy,
and lift it
up, shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen and amen. And if you want to see him, you can. Because he's real. He's not just a thought of your imagination. He's real. So if you want to see him, you can really see him. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn where we've been reading in Ephesians. And also we'll be in Romans 8. Ephesians 1, Romans 8. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. I know there's some missing today because of the going to the youth camp and things. So just remember them as they're traveling. And all. And remember Sister Barbara. She called and she's got a problem with shingles, and so you that have had something like that, you pray for it, because you know what it is, and all. It's a bad thing. Glad to have Brother Gary back with us from his operation. We appreciate God taking care of him, and remember now, this coming weekend, starting Saturday, 7 o'clock, we will be having services. We'll be having services Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock regular Sunday service, but we won't have a Sunday afternoon service, but we're going to have a dinner together and fellowship, you know, on our 40th anniversary. So it'll be actually Monday of next week will be the official day, because it'll be July the 4th. We started here July the 4th, 1971, but we're having to have the services on Saturday and Sunday. And Brother Keith Reed will be preaching for us. So remember that and just keep in mind. Also, then the Bible study will be moved over 1 week. All right, so it will be the second Saturday in July. So remember these announcements and all, and just keep them in your prayers. I believe that's all. But the Sunday dinner now will be catered to where that Wade and June's going to cook it for us. But it'll be a catered meal, and there is a list downstairs of what it's going to be on the refrigerator. So, you know, look at it, and you'll know what you're going to have to eat next weekend and everything. But we appreciate it. We're going to pay them to cook it. And like Wade said, just pay us. We'll cook it instead of paying somebody else. We'll make a little money out of it, so that'll be fine. All right? So remember that and keep all of these in mind. Anything else, anybody? Now, some of you sisters, you're not to cook anything next weekend, okay? That's settled. But if you want to make a cake or something where we could have it on Saturday night, you know, because we'll be meeting at 7 o'clock with Brother Reed and them, and if you want to make a cake or something like that to bring it in, some sweet, we can carry it on over to the Sunday. But don't everybody bring a whole bunch. Just enough to get us through that part or whatever we need, okay? And is that all announcements? I always miss something, but just remember that. Amen. Ephesians 1 and Romans 8. Father, we thank you for this day and the hour that we're living. We thank you for the opportunity to be able this day to just sit back and relax a little bit and wait upon you and come together to hear about you, because that's our desire. We desire to serve you in this day and time. And we know around the world things are getting in bad shape and all, but that's in your word that says it would be there. We're not one that looks forward to these things, but we look at them in reality and see that they are told that they will be there, and it will be. So we just pray that you'll give us grace to stand in the day that we have upon the earth in our time, because our brothers and sisters have stood the test of their time. And Lord, now it's our time to stand our test in time. So we pray you'll bless each one. Guide each one now. Be with the sick among us. You promised it. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So we believe that. And just have your way now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. We've been reading this for a while. Maybe, the Lord willing, by Wednesday we can kind of finish up on what we've been doing on this, but not a promise, just a thought. Maybe we'll get to it by Wednesday. All right. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now remember, there's never been a people predestinated unto this way that we're talking about adoption. You know, and we'll read it in Romans to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. Nobody's been predestinated this, but you and I are predestinated. That's where we're at, all right? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now go back to Romans, and we'll just read Romans 8:23. 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now remember what we're trying to bring now, and the thought, and we will repeat this in a minute, but see, it's, if you and I don't get the understanding, now this is the whole message, so if you miss it and something, this is what I'm trying to get you to see. If we don't get the understanding of the redemption of the body, or a revelation of it, then there will not be a redemption of the body. All right? Because that's the same thing for healing, same thing for salvation, same thing for all things that we receive from God, because we must receive them by faith. By faith. We see you maybe might have a visitor back there with us, and so we're glad to have him, and we say to you, welcome, and then you come back again, you're just part of us, but we say welcome to you, and all. We appreciate it. Appreciate all of the people on the internet system and all that are there watching, and we'll eventually sometime watch and see. We pray that God will speak to you and open our understanding. But now, as I said, we're talking about, to wit, the adoption, to wit. Now, we've covered adoption in three stages. That's what we're talking about. You receive a new birth. All right. And that's when we're adopted into the family of God, making us the children of God. And then we, we go from that to a position of the same thing as the Lord Jesus did when he came to the Mount of Transfiguration, to the point of hear ye him, and coming to that place. And then the third stage of adoption, coming to the place that to understand the redemption of the body, then it can take place. And there's never, as I said, there's never been an age that was concerned about the bodily redemption, or bodily, doing anything with these bodies. It's never been until this age, all right? See, but that we see that this age is the age of that, and that God has been so wondrous to us to reveal these things to us and to show us in his word. And, like we talk about Malachi 4, most people will just take Malachi 4 and they deal with it in a basis of Brother Branham to come, and we believe that. But the scripture there says that the Son of Righteousness would rise with healings in his wings. All right? See, and then we shall grow up as a calves of a stall, which is stored up food. All right? But see, then what I was trying to get you to see Wednesday, that healing campaign that started back in the early part of Brother Branham's ministry there in the 30s, and as he began to go forth, and there was a healing campaign, and you may not understand the way I say things, but I try to get you to think about something. But see, I believe God was showing back there that he was going to redeem these bodies. All right? Because he would send forth a worldwide sweep of healing campaign to show that, see, no divine healing, the prophet said, no resurrection. All right? So God was showing to the world that there would actually be a resurrection. Now watch that in a minute when we get down to a point. You say, well, we've all believed in a resurrection, but how do you believe in it? See? Watch that in a minute now as we come back to the point with that, but just to hold that point. But see, no divine healing. I gave you a couple of quotes back, you know, but I do these a lot of times for cause those on internet and things like that, and they don't hear the whole story. But the prophet said on the angel of the Lord, 1951, 718, he said, there's no divine healing, you know, then there's no resurrection. He said, because divine healing is the earnest of the redeemed body. Now, I gave you a lot of quotes where he was talking about that the divine healing is an earnest of a glorified body. All right? See, he said, now, no divine healing, then no resurrection. All right? See, people didn't, you know, they didn't understand, and they said, well, we know we're not to do this, you know, I know the prophet said we're not to major on a minor. Right. All right? But that was the day and the time. Because that was to attract the attention of the people to get them to hear the message that was going to be brought. See? But God so gracious showed by healing people, you know, if you've seen the picture of that Florence Nightingale's, ever what, her granddaughter or somebody in her family, but anyhow, the picture of the girl that was standing there where her legs are just maybe, you know, this big, and she's down to like 90 pound or 60 pound or something, and God healed her, you know. Well, see, then the world couldn't deny the healing, but how did we look at it? You say, well, we've always looked. I'll repeat this in a minute, see. Even Job looked for a resurrection. Right. Right? Mankind's always looked for a resurrection. That was the argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I don't understand the Sadducees, except that the Sadducees are this message, the way they believe it. But, you know, because, you know, I don't make light about it. See, a lot of people say the sad, you know. Well, I don't care about that. I'm talking about the difference in their doctrine that the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. See? So then I don't know what they believed. Maybe it's like a lot of people today. Maybe I'm sure they believed in some form of a resurrection. All right? Some form of something. Or either just plop off to another world and, you know, get a new body or whatever we do. But Brother Branham says you can't preach hidden life, 1956, 213. You cannot preach salvation to the soul without preaching bodily healing. You can't preach salvation. You can't break the atonement. The same atonement that says, by his stripes I'm healed, says he's wounded for our transgressions. You know, the stripes were healed. It's the same atonement. So if we're going to believe in salvation for the soul, but the doctors will take care of the body. Now, where's that in the Bible? When there's more dying every day from that, and we thank God for the doctors and all like that, and we don't say don't go to them or nothing. I went just the other day, and the doctor, he got through and running, coming there, and he listened to my heart, and he said, Sam, he said, you got an irregular heartbeat. And I said, well, I said, I drank a cup of coffee a while ago. That's probably what it is. He looked at him and said, I think we better run a cardiogram on you. I said, well, okay, but it was the coffee, you know, like that to him. And so he goes out, they come in and they run the, you know, the cardiogram or what you call it, EKGs or whatever, all those words. I never did understand them. But anyhow, they put all this stuff on him, and he come back in a little bit. He said, well, I guess it was the coffee. said, the EKG or what it was, that it showed everything to be normal. I said, well, you know how it is, but I said, let the doctor tell you everything's okie-dokie. Then you don't have to worry about it, you know. That way your mind won't, well, I've got this, well, I got that, well, I got this. And remember me Tuesday, I got to go. He said, my thyroid's got a goiter on it or something like that. But I don't give a hoot because I've lived all these years with all of the things that's in my body, and I'm 71, so I ain't worried about all these things. Like I told Brother Richard this morning, Wilson, I said, I don't go every day looking forward to something. I just go every day realizing it's going to come. Right? I mean, you don't go every day, well, I don't know what's coming tomorrow. No, no, you just realize something's coming tomorrow. The older we get, the more we're worried about it. You know, thank God for healing. See? But, you see, let them go tell you that everything's all right. See? And all of the things. But now let's get on down to it. But now listen. See, I've tried to get this point across to you that, and I know you know this, but there's people that maybe don't know it and haven't seen it or heard it. But see, that divine healing campaign, it was to get to people's attention that God was alive and living among us. That's the way your prophet described it, all right? And in doing that, see, then it would bring, he said, we don't major on a minor. And he said, salvation is the most important thing. So it was getting the attention of the people to see salvation, you know. All right? That salvation is the real thing, is the saving of the soul. But then he says, you can't preach salvation without preach healing. All right? Because it's in the same atonement. Okay? So he said, you'd be breaking up the Bible. See? You'd be separating and say, well, one part's right and the other part's not. But, see? Then in that healing, though, it would also meant a message would be coming. See? Because God doesn't send signs and wonders without sending a message. Whether it would be salvation for the soul, it would still be a message that would be coming forth. All right? And so would it be for the understanding, see, that you and I would have to come to the place to see the message. Not to just deal with healings and not to just do it, but a message would come forth. All right. Now, I tried to preach it there Wednesday then about how the Lord Jesus, you know, was dealing with the Son of Man, and he had the sign of the Son of Man, the resurrection was there. That's why he could stand there and say, I am the resurrection. All right. Now, Brother Branham couldn't stand and say, I am the resurrection. All right. But he could stand and say, bring me 24 of your worst cases, and I'll guarantee you healing for all of them. Because he was dealing with the resurrection sign, which is the prophet, see, prophetic. All right. And dealing in that realm, see, then he was welcomed in the early years. The Lord Jesus was, and Brother Branham was, in the early years, and oh, yeah, the little prophets, you know, yeah, oh, we're glad to have him. But then as he began to bring his message, then they began to say, you know, you can believe him in the healing, because he couldn't deny that.
Right, that's right.
But said, now when he starts preaching, well, see, that's how narrow-minded the human mind can be. But still, because they couldn't match up with any of the signs in the things that was taking place, but they had to explain it to their people. Like we Baptists, you know, we say, oh yeah, we believe in healing. We believe in healing. But really, we don't need healing anymore. We go to doctors. Well, I never did believe it that way. When I was there, I didn't believe it that way. I believe God is the healer. I'm not going to a doctor that tells me he doesn't believe in healing. I told you what the one that I go to, one of them, he said that the doctors all said to him, how can you believe in healing of the body when you all you know about medicine? He said, I want to ask you a question. How can you believe and see the healing without knowing it's God? See? Because there's only one healer. There's only one deliverer. There's only one can take care of. But see, a message has to come out. And Brother Branham knew, see, that a message would come forth. He knew that, see? Because if the signs and wonders was there, then See, they would have to be healings and things to follow. You know, sure. But they would have to be a message. See? That's the point I'm trying to get you to see, that there was a message back there. Now, we're going to try to break down something today. See? Like Brother Brown's early ministry and in the later part of his ministry. All right? Now, see, there was a message going forth. Now, the prophet, let's say he said it in a church age book, that this messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. One, turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Two, reveal the seven thunders, which is revelation contained in the seven seals. It'll be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn us back. All right? So he had to do two things. When he started out, he didn't preach the seals. Yes, he preached them in 50-something. Sure, he preached the seals in 50-something. Not long back, right in there when he started. He preached on the seals. All right? But yet he knew he wasn't right, because he even preached the White Horse Rider as being, see, the Holy Ghost. But then when it opened, he seen what it was. So just get in mind now what I'm talking about. But get the point that a message always comes. See? The healing is to get the people's attention. See? Get people to coming and listening. The message, that's why I said that he started out in his early ministry. He would let people preach. And then he'd come out and pray for the sick. Well, then he started preaching his own sermon. See? Why? Because they couldn't bring the message. They wasn't ordained to bring the message. See? So they couldn't do that. But you got to have the restoring of the faith of the fathers back before you can talk about the prophet and his ministry of what he was to be. So he had to come and restore those things. Well, see, that's what he was doing back there in those years of the healing campaign. He was preaching us back to the revelation of the faith of the fathers. All right? See, and that was the message. So are you following me now? See, the message that I'm talking about began when the prophet began to try to preach us back to what the Bible said. All right? Which would be called the faith of the fathers, or what they were. They didn't take a novice and let him write the word. It was those who were seasoned in the word that wrote the Bible. All right? So then, but they would be a healing campaign. See? All right? Now, see, then that healing campaign would never leave. All right? But yet you see the prophet in the end of his ministry with a whole lot less signs and wonders taking place as it was in the early ministry, because it's the same thing with the Lord Jesus. See, that's what I tried to get the point across. This message fits exactly the Lord Jesus and compares to what he was doing. See, the Lord Jesus had a lot of healings and signs and wonders, but after he went to Mount of Transfiguration, very little is said. Sure, there was people healed and different things, but not like it was in his early ministry. Now, you know that's Bible. Read your Bible. All right? And see. Then read the prophet's message and see and hear him declaring and see the healing to take place. But then you see him begin to taper down, seemingly. But he was coming to the third pull, the opening of the Word. All right? See, first pull is what? Divine healing. Second pull, prophecy. Third pull is what? The opening of the Word. Right? But what was prophecy? Setting in order of Scriptures. See, the Lord Jesus went out healing the sick and got their attention. Then he started to say, I and my Father's one. Right? Brother Branham was getting the attention of the people. Then he started preaching the faith of the fathers. But knowing that there would be a message come forth that would go into deeper depths. But there was a message going forth while the healing was going forth. That's what I want you to see, all right? While the healing was going forth, a message was coming. And I said that about it, and Wade said, well, you maybe need to express a little more. Because I said there Wednesday, you know, that first pull was healing, the prophet said. Second pull is prophecy. All right? Prophecy is setting in order of Scriptures. Look up the word. All right? That's not prophesy, prophecy. See? All right, there's a difference in the two words, prophecy and prophesy. Look it up. See? All right, so as healing was taking place in Jesus' ministry, he began to preach the word. setting in order. See? The prophet came and healing started taking place. Then he started setting in order the scriptures to where that we could talk about the faith of the fathers. Nobody talked about it. Nobody didn't know what the faith of the fathers. They didn't even know anything about it. They wasn't expecting it to take place. They were just rejoicing in a healing campaign and saying it's over with. We're here. You remember? See? They said, oh, the latter rain, brethren, this is it. He said, how can you have the latter rain when you ain't even had the former rain? See? Boy, he tore up their little buddy, little playgrounds, didn't he? I want you to notice that in a minute. You think of how hard, and it is so hard to try. The prophet said it's easy to preach a lie. It's hard to preach the truth. Right? But you think about what that prophet stood in this world. I'm talking about down in our day. And stood there and began to try to speak about no divine healing, no resurrection. Yeah. No glorified body. Well, see, mankind didn't believe in getting a glorified body. He believed in getting a new one. He believed in throwing this one away. Smoking more cigarettes. It don't make no difference. You don't throw this thing away and get you another one, you know. Because that's what mankind was teaching. And you think of how hard it was. Now let me just say it in plain language. All right? Had they not been the signs and wonders that was promised in the scripture, the Son of Righteousness rising and healing in his wind, had that not been the promise and had that not taken place, how many people do you think would have believed Brother Branham? Come on. Think about it seriously. When all of the great big guys, you know, from everybody up to the front down to the bottom, oh, we're going to get us a new body. We're going to get us a new body. And talking about resurrection. Educated people. But don't you think it really hurt their feelings when Brother Branham said, now, resurrection doesn't mean replacement. Doctor so-and-so, LLDDDDDD, let back down. If I'd have been there, I'd have punched him. I'd say, why didn't you give us a definition? Why didn't you tell us that's what it meant? You told us we're going to get a new one. This little guy that don't know his ABCs is telling us we're going to, these old bodies going to be redeemed. You think of how hard, I wrote down, emphasize this point. You think of how hard it was to preach it. Now I'm going to go ahead with the rest of what I have in there. That's why it's so hard today to try to talk about a redemption of the body. See? Because there's not the great healing campaign. See? Right? Now the healing's still here. Don't misunderstand me. We still believe in it. We still see it right here in many, many statements. All right? But there's not a healing campaign. See? Why? Because, see, that was to speak of the message that would come. Right? The message of the faith of the fathers being restored. Right? See, now you got to take God's word. You got to be like Sister Hattie Wright when Brother Brown was speaking. She said, that ain't nothing but the truth. It's got to be something like that. See, the healing has dropped down. You don't see the healings like it used to be. Right? It's not because we're getting older. I said this 40 years ago. See? I was preaching this 40 years ago. That the world would have more signs and wonders than we did. Because they're only dealing with the healings. See? We're not dealing with healing. We're dealing with trying to preach the word. And to believe the word and then let the healings follow it. I thought that's what we believe the third pool was. was speaking the word. But you see? And it's so hard to try to preach it. But you think about a man standing against the whole world. But see, I can't stand and do like he did because God didn't ordain me to do it. But he'd say, if you don't believe what I'm doing, you come up here and let's see you do it. Well, bud, they kept their seats, didn't they? He said, you come up here and let's see you do it if you know what the word's talking about. Well, bud, them old religious leaders, they walked up. Now, you better make on one thing, though. When they got outside the door, see, you know, oh, he's just a smart aleck. He's no, you know, uneducated idiot. And he just, you know, he doesn't know his ABCs. He doesn't know that we know what we know about the Bible. But they wouldn't say that while I was in front of him. Right? So is it today? People will yak behind your back, but they won't come into your face and tell you. Because 40 years ago I was saying this. This is not something I've come up with. I've preached it for 40-something years to try to show you it's got to be the opening of the Word. People, when I came into the message, boy, bless God, one of these days we'll be able to speak the Word. I said, you got to get it before you can speak it. Well, what do you mean get it? We got the books. See, that's what people think today. They think they have the message. And make light of other people. Come on, let's get down to the nitty gritty, as we call it. Brother Maloney used to say, "Get down where the rubber meets the road." Let's get down to where we're living, you know, and get to the point. But look what he says on number three of your notes. We've read these before, but let's read it again. Modern events made clear by prophecy, 1965-1206. Now remember, this message started first with divine healing. Right? Now that's your prophet, so let's let him answer. Performing miracles. And if God let that go through an ordinary church, just like we already had, then it wasn't God. Okay? Now watch him as he goes on. What's the next one? Leadership, 1965-1207. And any message that's come in, a genuine born message of God, is different from the old trend. When a divine healing went forth not long ago, did you notice how the impersonators followed it? See? And every one of them went right in them organizations, staying there. Does anyone know that there had to be a message? Follow that? Why? God don't entertain us. He attracts our attention with something. And when he attracts our attention, then he's got the message. See? Now, I gave you one there the other day where the prophet said, even if signs and wonders starts appearing and you stay in the same old message. So I've told you 40 years ago that there'll come a time. See? And you look out there and see it. Now, if you're blind, open your eyes. Go and look out there. You can see an organized religion. There's healing campaigns and all kind of things taking place and people being healed. I don't know where that church is still down in Florida. That Baptist church has been going for, I forgot how many years, that they'd have been having services every day. It's hard for us to get here 2 or 3 times a week. Not us. You, instead of us. I say us because you just be the whole thing. Because I'm here. You know that. But now listen. If a healing campaign starts, what are we going to look at? If a healing campaign was to start, what are we going to look at? I warned you 40 years ago that it would take place in the end time. That one day all of these doctrines in the message that healings and things would start appearing, and people would say, see, there my two soul message is right. Look at the healing. There my seven thunder virtue message. There my Perusias, my River Jordans, and all that. How many times have I said that to you? I said, there'll come a time when signs and wonders will start appearing. But the prophet said, if it's the same old message, don't do it. Don't follow it. In other words, a man comes and lays down 10 dead people and they're in the caskets ready to be embalmed. And he says, to prove that my two-soul doctrine's right, or my Baptist doctrine, or anything that you want to blame it, you know, put a name to it, all these are going to be raised from the dead. And they're all raised. Now, what are you going to do? The Bible says, see, we quote one, but we won't like the other one. One says, if a prophet comes and speaks and it comes to pass, you better hear the prophet. That's one scripture. But there's another scripture in there that said, if a prophet comes and brings you a sign, and it come to pass, and he take you to another god, don't believe him, because I sent it among you to try you. Remember about a month or two or here a while back, I was preaching on that. But you see, we want something to look at, to grasp, to hold on to, instead of just taking God's word. That's the only way I've ever got my healing or anything, is just taking God's word and just say, by his stripes I'm healed. And then just have to wait until it comes to pass. I've seen healings and miracles and wonders, yes. But I've seen that we have to stand on God's word, because he's trying us to see what we'll do. But you see, that's passing the people, and see, then they start running for something else. And then they claim that I'm trying to prop it up. I'm not trying to prop up nothing. I'm telling it like it is. That's what people don't like, is when you tell it like it is. But you see, the message that would follow the healing. All right, now, get to 2 points of what I'm talking about. There was a message followed the healing campaign that started in the 30s, right? See? A message followed, taking and going back, and the prophet preaching, Statue of a Perfect Man, and all those messages, greatest battle ever fought, and all those things, trying to restore the faith of the fathers. Right? Telling the Pentecostal people, right here is where you failed. That you thought we got it all. But he said, I come to tell you, you can't have a latter rain until you get a former rain. And they didn't even have the former rain of the faith of the fathers, let alone the prophet's message.
That's right.
See? Let me get to this point. You say, but Brother Dale, everybody believes in a resurrection. How do you believe it? Sure, mankind has always believed in a resurrection. But like I said a while ago, you never looked up the word resurrection. We didn't do that. We thought we knew what it was. Oh, one of these days. But resurrection don't mean to sit one thing down, drop a book, and pick up another book. It doesn't mean that. Prophet said this same body that goes down has got to raise. That's resurrection. But how many people wanted to believe it with a man with a seventh grade education? Like I said, they couldn't argue the signs and the wonders. But when they got over in their little compartments talking later, you know, he just don't understand. Somebody ought to have said, don't understand. You remember the man that was blind? Let's see if I get my right one. And was healed. Even his mom and daddy got scared. Because they wanted to know who healed him. Mom and daddy got scared because they knew they'd be thrown out of the church. And mom and daddy said, ask him. He's of age. Right? You remember that in the Bible? Ask him about it. We ain't taking no chances. Taking no chances with what? Their son had been healed and they didn't want to testify of it. What kind of a garbage can would it be? That's why I'll tell you, I don't care if it's a song you hear that the Beatles play and you're healed, God does the healing. Don't you see? You remember one day? Now to get to the point of what we're talking about, resurrection. You remember one day there in the scripture? Lazarus died. Right? You remember? And the Lord Jesus just kept going when they sent him word that he is sick. So finally the disciples couldn't understand it real good, and Jesus said, Lazarus, you know, he sleepeth, we're going to go wake him. What do you mean? He said, Lazarus is dead. He finally just had to speak plain language to him, right? Lazarus is dead. So they got over there, and here comes Martha out. Lord Jesus, if you had have been here, right? Read your scripture. If you had have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. He said, where did you bury him? Don't you believe in the resurrection? Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Read your scripture. We believe. It's John. It's in the Gospel of John. Oh, yeah. We believe in a resurrection. One day, everybody's going to raise. See, because they knew the scripture said that. They were Pharisees, not Sadducees. But see, the surprise was when Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Well, we don't understand your message. Come on. Trying to illustrate, right? We don't understand your message. He said, if you can't believe the message I bring, he said, show me the grave. Come on. He said, if you don't believe the message I bring, how about the signs and the wonders? And see, Martha didn't believe that who he was. But he said, take me to the grave. He proved he was the resurrection, right? But you see, we all believe in a resurrection. But do we believe it like Martha? Yes, one of these days. Do we believe it like Job? One of these days. See, something happened to Job one day, and God said, stand up on your feet and get out of your own understanding, right? And he come forth, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. In the last days he'll be up on the earth, and I'll see him for myself and not for another. He saw the resurrection. When are we going to see the resurrection? But you understand what I'm getting at? A message. Jesus told Martha the message. Let's read that scripture. Come on, what is it? John what? I got it wrote down in here somewhere. Somebody find it, because it's way over in my notes. It's John what? John 11. All right. Let's just read that. Look and see what Jesus said. He said a lot more than what we think. What scripture is it? Because I can't even find it in my notes. I got it wrote down. 11:38. All right. All right, let's back up. Yeah. Let's go back up to 20. Let's go back and just prove the point. Let's go back to verse 22, 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. See, she still looked for one up yonder and one down here. She couldn't figure it out. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Listen. Verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now watch. Have you ever listened to the rest of what he said? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, amen, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
He not only spoke to her of a resurrection of Lazarus, his message was to tell her that one day we will stand in a glorified body. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
Oh, now what that means, Brother Dale, that means that we don't die. We go to the grave and we come out. Amen. But that wasn't what Jesus was saying.
Right.
He's saying, I am the resurrection, amen, Martha. And one day somebody will catch it.
Right.
And when they catch it, they won't die.
Right.
You say, how do you know? Because Paul said.
Right.
And the same spirit that Jesus spoke it in will be changed a moment, twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. So are you following me?
Amen.
Listen. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? See, then he went and raised the dead. He preached his message and then he raised the dead. The prophet preached the message back there in the beginning in the 30s and on into the 40s and coming on in. Now, we only have from 49, I think, or 47. We only have from 47 up, as late, you know, counting the message the prophet recorded because of the recording systems and things that they'd done. But yet, he would go out and start preaching. Healings would take place to prove that what he was preaching was right. How many times have you ever heard him say, if what I've told you is the truth, let God come behind me now and prove it. And you know what? God came by behind him and proved it. That's where people don't understand. You know that even when he was preaching the White Horse Rider wrong and preaching it as the Holy Spirit, check the message that he said that in and see if healings and signs didn't take place. He said, yeah, but Brother Dale, he's preaching wrong. There wouldn't nobody in this world could tell him what was right. And God winked at his ignorance until the day come. Is that scripture? When the day came that God revealed it to him, God didn't wink no more. God winked at them because there was nobody who could tell that prophet. Like I told you, if you don't believe it, go back and just think about it sensibly. Remember where you came from. You came from churches. 90% of what's here came from organized religion churches. And you know every one of them taught we're going to get a new body. Like I said, even if they did teach anything about it, of a change, it was like we was. We read it and then turned around and said we're going to get a new one. We'd read Paul a change in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, and still say, we're going to get a new one. He said, oh, no, we didn't. We believe. Well, I tell you, certain things we believe because Martha believed in a resurrection.
Right.
Yep. Right? As I was saying about the blind man a while ago, what did he say? When they brought him in after his mom and daddy wouldn't even agree and help him, they brought him in to talk to him, read your Bible. Give God the glory, they said. He said, well, now let me ask you one question. I'm paraphrasing this, but he said, let me ask you one question. He said, now I was blind, and everybody knows I was blind. But now I can see. And he said, show me where you ever done it. Right? He said, and really, if you'll read the scripture, he said, show me in the Bible where anybody was ever blind and saw. Read your scripture. Now, he wasn't meaning they wasn't people back in the Old Testament didn't get healed. He was just making his point strong. Did you guys show me where you can do it? He said, I was blind, and this man gave me my sight, and you're saying he's a devil. Let's see you do it. Well, come and show Brother Dale where he's ever went off the message. But you better bring your clothes with you when you're coming, bud. What I mean by that is you were going to have a little time talking, and then we're going to talk about all of the things you followed. See, that's why people won't come talk to me. Because my memory is still good at 71, and I can remember all the doctrines that people's been into and where I had to dig some of them out of it. But it's like I dug a whole church out of a polygamy one time. And you know what? A year or so later, I called up there to talk to the man. He didn't even know who I was. Brother who? You think it won't turn against you? And I dug a whole church out of where they were already planning on who was going home with who. But you see, people don't pay no attention to those things. I know it. People don't like it. That's why they won't come. I mean, well, if they won't come, then there's one thing for about it. They must be a scared of coming. Well, I'm like this. Like I've always said, it comes to a day and these doctrines and ideas comes up and a man comes up and says, prove it. If I don't get up and walk up there, if you don't get me by the seat end of the britches and nap of the neck and cure me up there, there's something wrong with you. Because I'll do you that away. You tell me what you believe. You better be ready to stand on it. Somebody challenges you, better be ready to stand on what you... Well, I didn't want to hurt no feelings. Don't want to hurt no feelings. Used to say hogwash, you know. See? But I got it in big red things. You think of how much that prophet, how that he tried his best to preach of the resurrection, and God came behind him and proved the resurrection was there. And yet how many believed him? Come on, how many believed him? T.L. Osborne said, quote, I seen God. But we won't talk about his doctrine, you know. We won't talk about that. Tell him, wait, about a lady that Brother Tatum and them knew, Brother Moten and them knew her, and I'll try to think of her name one of these days. And she prayed for the sick. They asked her about Brother Branham. She said, well, I guess I never seen no greater except in my own ministry. That's how we can be. All right, let's get on down with it. See, folks, then the prophet had to preach and the healings was taking place to match it. First pull, second pull was exactly in line. Because first pull was healing. Right? Second pull was prophecy, setting in order of scriptures. Look up the word when you get home. Setting in order of scriptures. He was setting in order the faith of the fathers, telling us the Bible means what it says. He didn't change the Bible. It was our thoughts that had changed it. The Bible never taught a Trinity. It never taught eternal hells and stuff like that. But yet we thought it did. Right? See, the prophet had to come and straighten all that out before he could get into any part of his own. Because watch now. See, where we're talking about on the study of the adoption in three stages, we've come to the basis of talking about hear ye him, where the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we see that from the Mount of Transfiguration, he began to, as I said the other day, bring the seals and the things, right? On his way to Calvary, he began to bring a deeper message than the message he had been bringing. Are you listening? See? In his early ministry, they could follow him a little bit, but when he began to say, I and my Father is one, they didn't like that. How much was it when he got into the seals and preached in Matthew 24? When he preached six seals, and they didn't even know what in the world it was about it. I ask you to show me commentators that even knew. Sure, in the Baptist church, we talked about the six seals of tribulation. We talked about that in the Baptist church. I remember that. But do you think we understood the first one or anything else? No, we didn't. But still, just get the point. company. But see, it come to a place when that prophet had finished bringing the message. He said it took him 30-something years to preach the stature of a perfect man. Now, he's the one that said that. Go to the book, Stature of Perfect Man. Look, he's 30-something years to be able to bring that message. And how many people even still believed him, as I said? How come the people of this message, there's a big portion of them, still believe we're going to get us another body? They don't believe in this body being redeemed. We're going to get us a new body. And like I said, our Wednesday, some of them will say new, and you don't know what they're meaning. And if you question them, yeah, brother, I don't believe getting a new one. I just didn't explain that. No, you left it to where people could believe what they want to about what you said. Of course, preachers don't like that. See? That's why I like to say it where there's no problem. You don't have to worry about what Brother Dale believes. Right? Asked a lady one time, what did her pastor preach? She'd come from there to come here and been there for years and years. I said, what did he preach on the soul? She said, I don't know. Ain't never heard him. Never heard him preach about it. I said, well, okay. But now watch. In that early ministry, a message went forth. That's why people don't understand then when we get down in a minute and we start reading, if we have time, we don't, we'll pick it up this evening, when we start talking about the prophet said his message begun in the seals. Well, what do you mean begun in the seals? He got preaching in the 40s. Yeah, he had to restore the faith of the fathers. He had to preach that back because that was down and gone. And that's what he was doing. And that's what God was vindicating. That he was right. He was bringing the message and the healings and the signs and the wonders. First pull, second pull was laying right together. Don't just abruptly take one and make it this and make this, there's no here and make this over. Why? Because first pull is opening of the word, second pull is opening the word, third pull is opening all the word. That's the best way I can say it after 40 years. And you come and show me that's wrong. Because that's what he was doing. You show me under the first pull. You know what I'm fixing to say, most of you. Brother Brown reached out and take a person by the hand. He said, see, I take my watch off. He said, because it'll just destroy it. He'd take them by the hand. He said, look at here. He said, see all them bumps on my hand? He said, you got cancer. That was a gift. Right? Caused impersonators to come out, you know, failed it, seen it, this, that, and the other. He couldn't help that, but he was doing what was right. But what was so amazing, you don't even listen to what he was saying. And he said, see there, he said, you got cancer. My hand shows that. He said, it's on your left lung. Now what showed him that? The opening of the word. Right. Go back and read it. He said, you got cancer on your left lung. You got a cancer here. You got a cancer there. What showed him that? The hand vibration was one thing. The bumps on the hand was a gift. That just showed you had certain diseases. See, the opening of the word was taking place in the early ministry of the prophet. That's why people couldn't follow him. When he walked out there and going on up into the last part of 62 and over towards 63, he was just dying down, looked like, wasn't it? Preaching the greatest messages the world had ever heard outside of the days of the apostles. And God proving it with signs and wonders. The message would follow. And it did. Now, let's get on down to where we're at. See, the divine healing was to get the attention of the people so that they would believe that God is alive, Brother Branham said, and living among us. See? Because that's what healing shows, God being alive. All right? Now let's get a few of these because we'll try to catch some of it. See, then the message declared the healing and things to be right, and the healing declared the message to be right. You agree? The prophet preached the message, God come behind him and healed him. They went together. Same thing as the Lord Jesus. He would go out there and preach the message, and then he would heal the sick. And to show you, you say, well, what about Brother Brown? Well, what about the Lord Jesus when he had to leave a city there? Because he said he could not heal nobody in that city. because of their unbelief. Almighty God in flesh could not heal. Read your Bible. Because of their unbelief. What about over at, who was it, the little girl? When he put everybody out of the room except Peter, James, and John, said, "Get out of here. There's too much unbelief in here. I can't do it." And when they got out, he raised the dead. Read your Bible. See? Because God can't go over your free moral agency. He has to allow that to where you can do it. But now listen. But then the prophet knew also that while he was preaching that message, I believe he come to a realization that that wasn't the message he come to bring. That's why he would say, "I've laid a foundation maybe for somebody else." He said, "If that be true, then I'll be going off the scene." You remember those statements? See, he knew as he was coming up into the 60s that there was a message to come, because the visions and the dreams and the things started taking place. And he began to see that he had to go to Arizona and connect with angels and come back and things like that. Now look what he began to say. Does everybody understand what I'm saying now? I want to make sure that's right, where you can understand it. There was a healing campaign went out, and there was a message went with it. But it was the message of the faith of the fathers. And when that became to a position, then the prophet could begin to start looking for his own message. Because he knew he was bringing back like they did. He said, when he went beyond the curtain of time, what did he say? They told him he'd be judged. He said, "Will Peter and them be judged?" Said, "Yes." He said, "Then I'll be there, because I preach exactly like Peter and them." Go on the Statue of a Perfect Man, where he said them disciples, they were men of few words till they got in the pulpit. He said, then when it come down to the point like this, he said, it would come to where that those disciples had the least little nod from God. You keep reading about maybe a dozen paragraphs or less, and he'll say, "There I was waiting about praying for that little child." And he said, "I was waiting," he said, "and I got a little nod from God." He said, "And I went forth and was delivered." Showing where he was standing. But that wasn't his message. Now you believe in a third pull as to speak the word. Right? So then if there's going to be a third pull as to speaking the word in signs and wonders following, there's got to be a message. Are you listening? So look at number 5 on your notes. Let's just read a few. If I have to, I'll read real fast. Because I've been doing this for 40 years to you. But not to people out there that are listening and some new ones that are coming in. But look at what he said on the leadership. He said it was to get there what? His message to attract the attention. All right? Look at Souls in Prison, 1963, 11:10. It's run out. Now this is 63 after the opening of the seals. Okay. It's done. It's finished. And then the scripture says, at the message of the seventh earthly angel, the messenger on earth, the seventh and last church age, at the beginning of his ministry, when he starts off into the earth, at that time, the mystery of God of these seals should be made known by that time. Now we see where we're at. Could it be friends? Could it be? Notice all possible. You say, "Well, he said that's when he started out." See? Have a human mind. Just in case you're clicked that away. See, that's what I like to do. I like to pick up your mind and express it. You say, "Well, he just said when he first begins his ministry." Okay, let's read some more then. Trying to do God a service, 1965, 7:18. You read all that's in there and don't worry about it. It'll be there. I just underlined something where we'd save reading the whole thing. How that in the sounding of the last angel, Revelation 10, in the days of the seventh angel, these mysteries, that's all been. Why? Did the Methodists do this, and the Baptists, and the Church of Christ, and the Jehovah's Witness all do that? The mysteries will be revealed in the last days when the seventh angel's message, when he, not when he starts out doing this, but when he begins to sound his message. See? Not the years in preparation, but that when he begins to sound the message, these mysteries will be revealed, and here they are, not knowing them, and your people are a witness of that. So now, he certainly laid that down as to be later, not just the beginning of his life. Works his faith expressed, 65:11-26. And that brings to pass, because we have faith, and I know this is of God, is because this, and other scriptures point to this hour. Revelation 10 said, in the hour of the seventh angel's message, when he begins to sound forth his message, not in a healing service, but the message that follows the healing service. Okay, now where's he placing that? Still works as Spraith Express. That was paragraph 293. This is paragraph 303. He knowed the word that would finally catch up with them. He knowed there'd come a time when the word would manifest itself and they couldn't go no further. See, that's where your impersonators are left out, because they can't go with the word. All right? So have I knowed this all these years, see? That's right. That the time would come when any miracle that God sends, a real miracle, there's always a change in the whole system. If God sends something into the church and the old system's not changed, he sent it in vain. When a message goes forth in signs and wonders, there is a message follows that. When Jesus went forth healing, then come his message. What was it? I and my Father one. Paragraph 151, rapture message, 65:12-04. And when I went forth into meetings with you praying for the sick, it was fine. But when I come with a message, if any message goes forth, if it's a true message, genuine miracles of God, and hangs right into that organization, you know it's not of God, because that thing's already declared. Look at that. It's already declared. If it did happen, the Baptists had their day of healing, right? But that's done been declared. See, this is a different time. See, Jesus went forth and healed the sick in order to catch the eyes of the people. Then his message, that's right. It has to have something that God's going to introduce. He's just, divine healing is, miracles like that just catch the eyes of the people. The main heart of it is the message. There's what? It's what comes from in here. He's trying to get the favor of the people so that they'll sit and listen to him. See, and there's some more in there that's ordained to life. Trying to do God a service without his will, 1965:11-27, the B part. He's talking about Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these in the last days. See, the same thing come right along impersonating it just exactly. See, be careful. Watch the doctrine of the Bible. Watch the message that follows them signs. Still the same old school of message? Forget it. God sent miracles and signs to attract attention of the people. When Jesus come just healing the sick and so forth, so did the prophets. And they thought, oh glory, he's coming. Rapture message, paragraph 156, 65:12-04. In my message, all the time, knowing back there under healing and so forth, like that, just to catch the people's attention, knowing the message would come, and here it is. Now, did I make that statement a while ago? He knew. See? And them seven seals opened those mysteries and showed those things is what happened. I didn't know it, but there's men standing right here, and it was there, and you've heard the message, sirs, what time it? I have heard, but now I see, 1965:11-27, the evening service. Then he promised in the hour of the seventh angel's message, the seven seals would be revealed, and the mysteries of God would be declared, Revelation 10. When the seventh angel begins to sound his message, not the healing service, the message that follows the healing service. Rapture, paragraph 107, 65:12-04. And here also a type of the seven church ages, which in Revelation 10:7, that great mystery, the book was to be unfolded by the seventh angel's message. Now there's a messenger above all these, and a messenger on the earth. The English word means, English word angel means messenger. And in the seventh angel's message, while he was making, he is proclaiming his ministry. Then he began to sound forth his ministry, not when he started out. See, and then Jesus started out with the healings and the thing. What is to happen? Number 14 of your notes, The Breach, 1963, 307. The mystery of the book is in them seals from Genesis to Revelation. A complete plan of redemption is revealed in those seven seals. All right? Just showing you the point and get back and explain it in a second. Page 104, that was The Breach that I was just reading from, which was page 92. This is page 104. 1963, 317, and the whole creation lays in his hands, on which the whole plan of redemption is sealed by seven mysterious seals in this book that he took. Now watch, he alone can reveal it, because it's the book of redemption. All right. Hold those last two to the evening. But listen, you say, well, Brother Dale, ain't no quote nowhere the prophet said, my message began in 63. No, but we just read enough
right.
To show you he said where his message began, through the opening of the seals. Because no man had preached those things. We'll get to it this afternoon, too. See, nobody preached redemption of the body. Even if they did, it was like Martha with the resurrection. That someday it'll come. The prophet of God brought the message of redemption for body, spirit, soul, and world. Now show me any commentator. Scofield has some points on it. But show me any of them that preached anywhere that this world was going to be redeemed. Nope, going to be destroyed. Going to blow it all to pieces. It's all right. That's what you've been taught. I read something one day, or heard the prophet say it, and it really has stuck with me. He said, remember, that's what they've been taught. You don't find me making fun of the Baptists, the Methodists, and the stuff like that, because that's what they've been taught. You and I have been taught all of our life certain things. Hard to change, isn't it? Hard to lay down some of our thinking. That's what gets me about the people, and some of you even here say, well, boy, when I first saw it, man, I sat right there. And I'm back thinking it took me about 8 months or 6 months or maybe 12 months to get you baptized. Yet you saw it quick as you read the book. You just saw it right there. Well, why did it take a year later to get you in the water? See, we, you know. That's why I say it. I'm sorry. I am. I'm sorry that I can remember. I wish I could forget. Because you see, I come through that too. I studied this message from 66 until 67 before I left the Baptist church. It was in 67 that I got baptized. It took me a year. Just to get baptized. God, I wasn't going to do it till I seen it. And God sent, you've heard me tell it, God sent an old Baptist preacher by one day, or we was having a revival or something, had a visiting preacher, and he preached, all you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. And the whole church started, if you've ever been in the Baptist, you'd know it, come on musician, if you've ever been in the Baptist church or anywhere, you say, for God's sake, my dad-in-law used to call him the good master. You know, they had names like that, for the Lord's sake, or what they'd pray. But all at once, that whole church started praying in the name of Jesus Christ. I sat there and looked at that old preacher, and I thought, God, thank you for sending that guy by. The next day, I told Brother Mode, I said, when we go under the water. That settled it. See, all you do in word and deed. That settled it. See, then it was something that, to wit, I came to an understanding that there was no other way. You say, well, what kept you so long? One thing, pride. Ordained deacon at 23 years old. teaching when I left. I was teaching the adult Sunday school class, which was the deacons and the elders and their wives, and teaching the training union. I was training union director and Sunday school superintendent and all these different things at the same time. I had about five or six jobs I had to resign from. Good pride. Brother Dale, pride.
I ain't never had no pride.
That's where you're proud right now. You missed it. See, I knew the day I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I was out of the Baptist church. Because most of you don't know it. Because you've never been there. You can go to from a Baptist to a Methodist or a Baptist to a Catholic. You can go do anything you want to and you don't have to get baptized. But if you go from any church to a Baptist church, you're going to be baptized in that Baptist church. That is the Baptist doctrine. And I knew that. I knew the day I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was going to have to tell them and leave. You go right now out there and ask them. You're going to be, I don't care if you've been baptized 20 times. And I mean it, if you've been baptized 20 times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're going to be baptized in that church in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you don't believe that, go find you a Baptist preacher and ask him. Say, if I come down and joined your church today, what would be the first thing I'd have to do? He said, get baptized. Well, I've been baptized. Yeah, but you're going to be baptized in the Baptist. See, I knew the day I was baptized, that was the last day I could go, that I'd ended my career. At that time, I would have been 27. I had to leave. But you see, we think we understand, but do we? Let's stand. Do we understand? Paul said to wit, to understand. He goes on later in the Corinthians and the other scriptures and explains a lot about the change of the body. But he said the adoption that we need to understand is to wit the redemption of the body. Then in the last days, here come the prophet. What was he doing? Preaching redemption of the body. He preached it so long until I get to it this evening. He preached so long that he wound up preaching that the world would have to be redeemed. Now, probably when he first started out preaching about resurrection, no divine healing, no resurrection, he probably didn't see that the world would be redeemed. But you read the future home. That's why I've asked you to go over that message. He said, I've taught it from the beginning. And he said, now we see the world has to go through the same stages of redemption. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you have read the future home since I asked you to? I'll give you now about 3 weeks. Have you heard the tape or listened to it? Please do it by Wednesday. I'm just asking you. I'm just assigning. I'm the teacher. Okay? I'm assigning your homework. Well, I don't have time. You got time for everything else. All right? Let's sing. Go ahead.
369.
Anybody have a need? 369.
When this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Carotid arteries, some plaque in the carotid arteries.
I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Hallelujah, by and by, oh, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Yes, I'll fly away. fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory. I'll fly away in the morning. I can't die. Hallelujah. By and by. Oh, I'll fly away.
But boy said he heard the service on his telephone. You think about a modern invention? He said there's a guy, evidently, I don't know where he was in the car with him or what he was doing. He had the radio on and he had the telephone up to his ears listening to the message. The guy was nice enough to even turn the radio down. See? We don't have to be something odd. We are odd. We just love the word. I'll fly away. Oh, I can't die. Hallelujah, by and by. Oh, you're dismissed. Remember the service this afternoon. I'll fly away.